morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
And a very warm welcome to you all. And to anyone who is visiting us for the first time, please make yourself known to me or the minister after the service, and by signing the visitor's book located in the church porch. A warm hello to those listening via the Tate Ministry at home, hoping that you feel part of the Emmanuel family. I would like to thank the church for the card they sent me after having my cataract operation last Sunday, which has turned out to be successful at the moment. We'll see how it goes.
Also, you can see us now, can you?
I can see now, lovely, but with them on, it's a bit dim. Our service will be led by our minister, Reverend Robert Jordan, and we look forward to your message to us today, Robert. Today is also the launch of our Harvest Appeal, which is Tools for the Self-Reliance, and our speaker is David Moynihan. Welcome, David, and we look forward to hearing your talk to us. Our read today is Wally Knight. There are no extra notices in the weekly news, but I come to remind you that on the 24th of September at 2:30, we've got our celebration of 50 years. There are some little things in the back of the church. Do you care to take one?
No, I've got them.
Oh, sorry. Jeff's got them, I've been told now.
I want to see who comes and asks for one.
And also, there's tea and coffee after the service today. As you already know, it is the state funeral of our late Queen tomorrow morning. And having served for her for 35 years, I had the great pleasure of meeting her in 1972 whilst I was serving at Bryce Norton. God bless you, boss, and rest in peace, man. I will now light the Christ candle, after which we'll have a few moments' reflection before the start of the day's service. Thank you.
Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. And as Mike just said, we welcome David, who has come close to the sea, Lymington, to be with us this morning as a volunteer of Tools for Self-Reliance. That's not the only thing he does, but it's how he wants to be known among us today during the service. Psalm 145, words that will open our service at time of worship after having heard the choir and the introit. The words say, "The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down." This is our promise with which we live our life, and we give thanks to God for this. Our first hymn this morning from Rejoice and Sing. It's hymn 47, O Worship the King. Please omit verses 4 and 5. Hymn 47, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above, omitting verses 4 and 5. As we have done Sunday after Sunday, I will now light the peace candle, particularly for the war between Ukraine and Russia, but also when all those parts of the world, whether it is tension, whether it is hatred, whether it is violence. Before the prayer that we will join our hearts and minds together in a few moments, the office of the Mayor of Swindon has asked all groups to share this information. There will be a national moment of reflection on the eve of Her Majesty the Queen's funeral to take place this Sunday at 8 p.m. on the steps of the town hall, which is just behind the library. So this will take place. Those who are invited, who feel invited to attend, be there by 7:45, please. The service will begin at 7:55 and should last about 30 minutes. So if you can make it, just behind the library, 7:45, for a service that will last 30 minutes. The service will be led by the Mayor of Swindon, the Bishop of Swindon, and the Reverend Mark Barrett in his capacity as Mayor's Chaplain. So please feel invited. And now we join in prayer of thanksgiving and confession, and we end with the words of the Lord's Prayer said together. Let us pray. We look around, dear God, and the sun is shining, and though the temperatures have descended, there is still that warmth in the air after the hot days. The rains that came afterwards covered nature again in its colours for this time. We look around, dear God, and we see your creation. We are reminded that we, your children, have been given a place in this creation. We are reminded that each and all of us have received talents, that when we come together and share those talents, we are working to make this the place that you looked at and saw and said, "This is good." Lord, we thank you for all that is good in life, for kindness, for solidarity, for generosity, for the expressions of love that go beyond each of us. We are reminded of how you touch the lives of others in so many different ways over the thousands of years, reminding us that we can do what we never thought we would be doing, that we can make a difference. And the way that Jesus opened up life in fullness to all people. Oh Lord, thank you that your vision that we call the kingdom is far wider than what we will ever understand. We thank you that this morning we will be hearing about Tools for Self-Reliance, which is our appeal for this year. And hearing and knowing more about it, we pray that we can respond. We thank you that this morning the table is set and we'll be able to share communion, your gift to nurture us for daily life. And dear God, we look around and we also see the things we have undone that you did well. How we as human beings have messed up so much based on selfishness, pride, envy, hatred. How it's easier to destroy than to build up. And it's quicker, because building up takes time and confidence. Forgive us. Forgive us for what we don't do. Forgive us for that which we repeatedly do that is so far from your will that we can't even explain it or justify it. Forgive us for silences when you expected words. Forgive us for indifference when you expected kindness. Forgive us for all that has caused pain in the lives of others, when we have used actions and words to discriminate, to ostracize, to increase that pain. Forgive us, dear God. Forgive us for not loving you, for not loving our neighbor, for not loving ourselves, for not loving your creation. And through your grace and your mercy, heal us and restore us so that truly, as your daughters and your sons, we may live our life in celebration of life as we find it in Jesus. To you be the glory as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You will see in Weekly News, thinking of the theme of our service today and what we hope to be as people, the thought for the week, when the invitation to change I into we, and the example, when we change I into we, even illness becomes wellness. Simple, easy to remember, and incredibly effective. Have Faith in God My Heart, our next hymn, hymn 499 from Rejoice and Sing. And he will now lead us in the reading. Thank you, Wally.
The reading this morning is taken from Mark, chapter 6, and verses 13 to 44. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, His disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "Are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and of 50s. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Wally. The choir will now sing the anthem, "Jesus' Hands Were Kind Hands." And if you'd like to follow it, it's in Rejoice and Sing, hymn 197, if you want to read the words while the choir is singing. I'd like to now invite David to share the message he has with us today, the story of the project for this year. Thank you very much.
Let's just pray. Father God, I pray that as we come and
Look at your word and also hear about this charity, that you will speak to our hearts and teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for choosing Tools for Self-Reliance to be your charity for your Harvest Appeal this year, and for inviting one of us from the charity to come and tell you about the charity. I am, as you've already heard, one of the volunteers who works at the Tools for Self-Reliance headquarters in Netley Marsh, which is just on the edge of the New Forest near to Southampton. If you look at the poster carefully there, you will see one of the things it says in there, empowering people to build suitable livelihoods. And that's to help them with poverty. And one of the main aims of the charity is to indeed help with poverty in the third world. And we work in 6 sub-Saharan countries, Ghana and Sierra Leone in West Africa, Uganda, Tanzania, Malawi and Zambia in East Africa. We all know the consequences of poverty is hunger and all that goes with that. In our reading from Mark's Gospel, we had read the story of the feeding of the 5,000. This is the only miracle story which is in all 4 Gospels, which suggests it is important for us to understand what it is saying to us today. This miracle story is well known, but I think it is more than just a miracle story. It is also a practical parable story. A parable is an everyday practical story which also teaches a moral lesson or a Christian principle. The everyday practical story is obvious. Jesus provides enough food to feed at least 5,000 people. But as we read the story, we can note that it is the followers of Jesus, his disciples, who actually do the work. It is they who find the food. And Luke, or in one of the other Gospels, it tells us that a young lad had 2 loaves and 5 fishes. It is the disciples who sit the crowds down so that they can distribute the food Jesus provides. It is they who clear up the mess at the end with 12 baskets of scraps after they have sent the crowds home satisfied. And the Christian principle for us today, God has provided enough food for all the world, but sadly, it is wrongly distributed. But here is a story which encourages Jesus' followers to help God in providing for those hungry. I fully accept that it is impossible for Christians to redistribute the food God has supplied, but I think we have a moral responsibility to help reduce poverty and so hunger in any way we can. And as already said, Tools for Self-Reliance is there to reduce poverty. So a bit about the charity. It was started by a gentleman called Glyn Roberts in 1979. In the early 1970s, he had been travelling in East Africa and soon realised that just giving money to help hungry people was very short-sighted. As once the money has been used, more would be required. He saw that providing a trade for individuals so that they could earn their own money would last for a lifetime and would help to provide for families and other extended and further extended families. So when he returned to the UK, he asked his friends and neighbours for unused tools, and then with help from volunteers amongst the students from Portsmouth Polytechnic, they refurbished them. Once he had enough, he sent them to countries in East Africa. He soon discovered
that trying to manage imports into African countries was and still is a nightmare if you live in the UK. So he realised he needed to develop partnerships with small-scale communities-based groups in the different countries. These groups became responsible for getting the tools through customs, etc., and being local, would know who the best people were to benefit from these tools. In 1979, the charity was formed, and in 1980, it was formally registered with a mandate of working with local organisations in developing countries to relieve poverty amongst the local population. It was envisaged as being a practical way to support and train tradespeople in some of the poorest parts of Africa. So practically, how does it work today? Well, we still ask for tools that are no longer required to be sent to one of our centres around the country. We have over 60 centres with in excess of 640 volunteers. Some centres collect, refurbish, and then send them to our headquarters in Netley Marsh. Others are just collecting centres, and yet others do both. When the tools arrive, they are initially sorted into, firstly, what can be refurbished and sent abroad, such as carpentry tools or mechanical tools. Haberdasheries, hand sewing machines are also refurbished. Although with the increase in local electricity, electrical sewing machines and power tools are in great demand now. Secondly, they're sorted into what can be refurbished and sold in this country, as they are unsuitable for sending abroad. For example, we do not send any garden tools, as they can make their own out there, and we don't want to be in competition with what can be brought locally. Thirdly, they're sorted into tools that could be sold on eBay because they have a potential value. Sometimes quite valuable tools are found. For example, recently some old Jaguar car tools which sold each for £20. And fourthly, what is rubbish and has to be thrown away. But even this is collected in a skip and sent to metal merchants, and some money is raised. So once the tools have been sorted, they are then refurbished. At Netley Marsh, the charity has a large warehouse with all the necessary equipment required for refurbishing. Incidentally, the warehouse is on a small industrial estate, which was bequeathed to the charity in the mid-1980s. There are a small number of other units on this industrial estate, which are rented out to other businesses, and the rent goes to the charity. Eventually, the refurbished tools are packed into boxes depending on who they are needed for. For example, there are special boxes for carpentry, or for blacksmithing, or for motor mechanics, or for bicycle repairs, for tailoring and haberdashery. Sewing machines are both hand and foot operated, as well as electrical, are also refurbished and sent out. Once they have been packed, then depending on which country they are going to, they are eventually put into a 20-foot container and shipped to either West or East Africa. How does Tools for Self-Reliance decide what to send? Well, as I mentioned earlier, we only work with African partners. For example, in Uganda, it might be with the Rural People in Action Development Group, or Single Parent Association of Uganda, or Uganda Rural Development Training Centre. In Ghana, it might be with a Centre for Capacity Improvement for the Wellbeing of the Vulnerable. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Or Street Gift, Street Girl Aid. And there are more partners in both of these countries, and similarly in the other countries. Now, any of these partners can contact us and make requests for tools or sewing machines. Our headquarters, who have paid staff working for the charity, then assess how suitable the request is and also how practical. Eventually, after all the inquiries and necessary paperwork is done, the tools refurbished, and a container is packed up and sent. The whole progress may take up to 6 months from the time the request is made to the time the tools are developed, and probably costs each container in the region of about £8,000 just to post it or to send it, but about £15,000 if you add in all the other expenses around it. Once the local partner has the tools, it is up to them to distribute them to the local people. But they do so with the charities, as the charity has still some input to making sure its remit of helping the poor is adhered to. And as far as I understand, a good proportion will go to vocational training schools, where again the charity is involved. Some of the tools will go to various cooperatives of students who have been through the vocational training school and are setting up their own businesses, such as a building business, or car mechanics, or bicycle repairs, carpentry and tailoring. A few, particularly sewing machines, may go to individuals so that the recipient can work from home where she or he may be needed to look after children or ageing relatives. The vocational training schools provide three types of training. Training for a trade, which will include maintaining the tools as well as the basic training required for a particular trade. Two, business training, covering topics such as record keeping, profits and loss, how to open a bank account, saving and investments for the business, marketing and customer management. And thirdly, life skills education. This involves topics such as HIV and AIDS awareness, its prevention and management, nutrition and healthy eating, personal hygiene, confidence and self-esteem, and if necessary, counselling if the person has experienced a traumatic event in their lives. Sometimes before and even during this training, the student may need to be taught the very basics of how to read and write. In today's world of accountability and feedback, these are very important. So the charity regularly sends out members of staff to the various countries and the partners there to find out how things are going at the coalface, so to speak. These are of great value, and what they find is very encouraging. For example, 90% of students complete the year's training. Those who leave early usually do so because they need to look after family members or the necessity to tend their own family small holdings, or sadly, because of financial difficulties as a result of not earning while training. Other encouraging feedbacks have shown graduates have increased income, so able to send their children to school. There's improvement in theirs and their family diets. Ability to save and invest in livestock for the good of the family. And some have built up their businesses and increased ability to help their extended families. One result of the recent visit to Ghana this past year, particularly to the Streets Girls Aid partner, has resulted in a special project which we hope you might be able to help us with. The Street Girls Aid project in the capital of Ghana, Accra, was first established in 1994. It was formed to work with young women and girls on the streets. These girls were often mistreated, and being part of a male-dominated society, had very little opportunity to improve themselves. The local partner, with Tools for Self-Reliance, helped start a vocational training school with accommodation and, if necessary, a creche to look after the children, which often these girls and young women had without any support from the father, if known. Over the years, Street Girls Aid have built relationships with thousands of women and girls and work closely with partner organisations to deliver interventions. COVID has had a big impact, and on the recent visit by our CEO, Sarah Ingleby, they were able to talk to the partners and the students and see firsthand how they were getting on. What she and her colleague found was that the one-year course was not really enough. Although the students had learned all the basics they needed, support, encouragement, and guidance during the first year of setting up their own businesses. So it has been decided with Tools for Self-Reliance's agreement and support to fund a second year for these students. This will include the trainees' accommodation and meals throughout the year. This second year will help the trainees find business premises, somewhere suitable to live, help with starting to develop a business clientele, and general support and encouragement. Judith, one of the trainees who has started her work life on the street selling cake and living in a totally unsuitable shack, with help from our charity and Street Girls Aid, provided her with a trade, a professional tailor, and accommodation at the Street Girls Aid Centre, removing the worry about the cost of living. This has been a great help to her, and Judith said, "I am saving the money to buy items I needed to start my own businesses, including materials and extra equipment." She also said, "I can now work for myself and have more skills than I had before I came to the centre. I can use some of the money to support my brothers." The cost of this second year of transition to work programme for these girls, is £6,000. Any support you can give us towards this amount of money would be very much appreciated. So as I finish, one of the interesting statistics recently noted was this. Tools for Self-Reliance in the past 10 years has sent out over 22,000 tools at an estimated value of over £3 million. Think of the saving on landfill sites in this country, as well as the help given to those in Africa. As a follower of Jesus, I see my volunteering at Tools for Self-Reliance as a small way I can fulfill Jesus' Christian principle, as suggested in his feeding of the 5,000 with his disciples' help. I hope that you too will see that your support in this project, although it might be very small in a global perspective, Nevertheless, it will be a large benefit in helping to lift some girls and young women out of poverty and into a free and fulfilling life. Amen.
Thank you, David, very much for your presentation, for creating a mental picture of what is involved and what you have done. And now the challenge set to us in what we can do to be part of that project that will make a difference in the life of people that really do need it, and we can do something about it. So, you know what follows. The challenge is there. You've received the letter that explains briefly what you've just heard, and over the next few weeks, we will gladly receive whatever you can give in contributing to this project. The envelopes are there for you to take. Please, as you've heard David said, no matter how little, definitely not worried about how much, but how, don't worry, everything will contribute in the lines of the reading today and what we said in the prayer. What we can do, used by God, will multiply and change lives. Thank you for what has been done, and thank you for being with us this morning. Greatly appreciated. And there will be a time after the service, there's tea and coffee, if I'm not mistaken, in the hall, where you can talk to David, ask him further questions, and be challenged. Please feel challenged through this. Our hymn as a response to this picture that we have just received is hymn 475, God, You Meet Us in Our Weakness, Giving Strength Beyond Our Own, by Your Spirit, by Your People, showing we are not alone. Hymn 475. John will now lead us in the prayers of intercession for this morning.
As we come together this morning, let us pray for the world, our country, the royal family, our church, our families and friends, and ourselves. O Lord, we ask that you would open our ears so that we may hear your voice. Open our minds so that we may receive your eternal wisdom. Open our spirits so that we may know your leading and guidance. And open our hearts so that we may receive your wonderful love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we bring before you the loss of our Queen. We give thanks for her long life and for all the ways she loved and served those in her care. We aspire to her faith. We bring you our sadness for what we have lost, our gratitude for what we remember and cherish, and are wondering about what is yet to come. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Amen. We continue to pray for the royal family. Be with the king and all members of the royal family as they mourn the loss of a mother, a grandmother, and great-grandmother, as well as a friend and monarch. In the royal palaces, crown them with your loving kindness. Amen. Everlasting God, we pray for our new king. Bless his reign and the life of our nation. Help us to work together so that truth and justice, harmony and fairness flourish amongst us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, we look at the world and feel its hurt. We ask you to guide those in power to bring about lasting peace. Guide us all to bring about world sustainability. Guide us to grow in compassion for those who are displaced by war, flood, or famine. Healer of the world, in our loss, replenish our spirit. In our pain, restore our health. In our anger, remove our cause. In our fear, remove our uncertainty. In our arrogance, remove our self-centeredness. For what we have said that is wounded, pour balm. For what we have thought that has soured, send sweetness. For what we have done that has scarred, soothe gently. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, we ask you to bless this church as we prepare to celebrate the URC's 50th anniversary, especially here at Emmanuel next Saturday. Bless our minister Robert, our elders, and all those who lead and guide the churches within the Old Town Partnership of Churches. And we ask your blessing on this year's harvest appeal. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Caring God, we pray for all those who are afflicted by physical, emotional, or mental illness. Help them to keep their eyes fixed on you and give them the courage to face the trials and temptations that may come. Almighty God, you are the only source of health and healing. In you there is a calm and the only true peace in the universe. Grant to each one of us, your children, an awareness of your presence and give us perfect confidence in you. In all pain and weariness and anxiety, teach us to yield ourselves to your never-failing care, knowing that your love and power surround us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, we pray for all who have lost loved ones, either recently or at this time of year, and ask you to provide your peace and comfort during their time of grief. In a moment of silence, remember those known to us and their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, from whose love nothing can separate us, we commend to you your kindness to one another here and all people engulfed in sorrow of any kind. We pray for the peace of the world and for just dealings between the nations. We pray for the hungry and the poor, for those displaced by conflict, and for all who suffer hardships and do not enjoy the benefits which we have known in our day and generation. Amen.
Thank you, John, very much. And we respond in as much as we can to the prayers of intercession and the love of Jesus for us through the offering. Thank you for what we have received, and thank you for your blessing by which we can discern what we can do and how we can do it. For the offering that is in the plate and what we give in so many different ways, use our time, our talents, and our possessions so the world may know that your way is a challenging, different way. Amen.
Amen.
And we share the words of the grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
When we were preparing the launch of the Harvest Appeal, the question was, shall we have communion or not? Will it extend the service more than people feel comfortable? Could be. But then on the other hand, a slightly extended service is not something that would surprise you if I'm standing where I am standing, so why not go ahead? But we just felt that the context of what we have heard and what we are aiming to is what communion is about. Our weakness brought together, nurtured for transformation. A follower of Jesus once wrote, "Think what kind of people you are whom God has called. Not many wise by human standard, not many powerful or of noble birth. Yet to shame the wise, God has chosen what the world counts as foolish. And to shame the strong, God has chosen what the world counts weak." It's not for our virtue that we are here. It's not for who we are that we have been called to the table. It is for one reason and one reason only. God loves us and has invited us to be here. So come. Come leaving behind the baggage of our self-importance or the burden of our self-loathing. How you feel, who you are, what you have done at this moment does not matter. There is a greater cause. There is a stronger voice. It belongs to Jesus, who in bread and cup says, I am here for you. What we are to do today, we do because Jesus did it and told us it was his will. For it was he who once, in an upstairs room, sat at a meal with his disciples, and during the meal he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, this is my body, it is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And later on in the meal, he took the cup of wine, and after he had given thanks, he said, this cup is the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Drink it, all of you, to remember me. So in a few moments, we will do as Jesus did. And now, as we prepare to share the meal, I'd invite you to join in singing the hymn 450, Jesus, We Thus Obey. Let us pray. Loving Jesus, it is not by our virtue that we are here, but by your gracious invitation. It is not merely repetition of an ancient tradition, but to be nourished by your living present word. It is not only to celebrate your presence among us, but to catch a glimpse of heaven because of this sacrament. You give us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet where we shall see you face to face and enjoy the freedom of eternity when the limitations on earth are no more. God, our Maker, as you gave your people water from the rock in the desert and fed them with bread in the wilderness, let your Holy Spirit fill us as we take of these elements with the fullness of what Jesus was, is, and will be. In the intimacy of this sacrament, as heaven and earth become one, enable us to know you more deeply, to resolve to love you and honor you and serve you more faithfully in this world, till your kingdom comes. Amen.
Amen.
Among the friends that were gathered with him, round a table, Jesus took bread. He blessed it and he broke it. Take and eat. It is a reminder of my broken body Do this in remembrance of me. And then, after the meal was coming to an end, he took the cup, he gave thanks, and he said, this cup is the new covenant, the new relationship with God, made possible because of my death. Take this, all of you, to remember me. All of you who hunger and thirst for a better life, for a deeper faith, for a better world, here is the bread of life. Feed on it with gratitude. Here is the cup of salvation. Drink from it and rejoice. The gifts of God for the people of God. Receive the bread, let us eat, and eat in memory of him. And when they had eaten, they took the cup. Thank you. We drink, and we do so in memory of him. We thank you. We thank you for the love of Jesus expressed in so many different ways, and particularly at that time of the Last Supper with his disciples, for his life, his ministry, and his charge to us. Thank you for nurturing us so that we may live our life as your children. Amen. And after eating, before they left, they sang. And I invite you to join in this last hymn this morning. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's hymn 261.
Help us to be your ears, to listen to the cries of those in need. Help us to be your voice, speaking out love and acceptance. Help us to be your feet, walking beside them. Help us to be your hands, to clothe, feed, and shelter them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Grant, God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the church, the king, the Commonwealth and all humankind, peace and concord, and to us and all his servants, life everlasting. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ.